Live from San Juan Islands, pretty darn close to Canada, it's the K&A Sports Picks Podcast.
Hey,
Hey, TK, good to see you. Good to see you here at the official headquarters of the K&A Sports Picks Podcast to do another podcast.
Great to be here. It's been a while since we've done a show, same room, same time zone. So, exciting.
How's your winter been so far?
It's been a great winter. Enjoying Colorado. Have gone on some great hikes. Had some snowstorm, but the days are getting longer, the sun's getting brighter, the snow's melting, so spring is in the air. So I think it's the perfect time for a baseball podcast.
Absolutely. We're going to do our baseball picks annual podcast. So please don't take our picks to Vegas, to the bank.
No, I know there's been a rise in sports betting, but we want to make clear on the K&A Sports Picks podcast, these are not for gambling.
Not for gambling.
Purely for fun. And enjoyment.
But before we get into our baseball picks, as our resident Tottenham Hotspur expert in all things EPL, what's been going on in the Premier League, and particularly because we have quite a huge following of Tottenham Hotspurs fans, what's been going on in the Premier League and Tottenham?
Yeah, these are heady times in the Premier League title race. So, Arsenal right now stands in first place, and they're separated by a single point from Liverpool and Manchester United. So all three teams, there are three teams within a point. So it's a three-team title race. This is probably one of the best title races of the decade. Manchester City, as our Premier League followers will know, they are like the Yankees on steroids and funded by the wealth of an entire nation. They've won three out of the past seven Premier League titles. But Liverpool, it's the final season of their great manager, Jurgen Klopp, and they're dreaming of sending him off with a title. And Arsenal, they haven't won since 2004, and they're dreaming too. But over in North London, true North London, in White Hart Lane, where Tottenham plays, it's been a great first season under their coach, their new coach, Postecoglou. Fun name. He's Greek.
Yeah, say that 10 times fast.
Postecoglou, and maybe I'm even mispronouncing that, so any fans don't give me too hard of a time, but he's Greek-Australian. And the past few seasons, Tottenham has been led by these dour managers who were grumpy. They were not happy to be here. They thought they were above Tottenham. But now we have a young, hungry manager who's just a nice guy. He wants to win. This is the pinnacle of his career, and he's happy to be here. And it's brought a lot of optimism back to the hunt for Tottenham. They're playing offensive-minded football. They're attacking. They're scoring a lot of goals. They're still a young team, and the defense is a bit shaky, so they've conceded some goals and drawn some games when they should have won. And they're still prone to having these kind of sudden mental collapses like they had right before the international break, but things are headed in the right direction. They're in fifth right now, and they have a good shot at being fourth and returning to Premier League football, which they finished ninth last season, so that'd be a huge, and they lost Harry Kane in the offseason, so finishing fourth, getting back into Champions League football, building for the future. There's finally, I'd say this is the most optimistic it's been in about 4 or 5 years.
So for our European football or English Premier football fans, what is the difference between, you know, finishing in the top four or five and getting in those tournaments and not? Is it money, just prestige, attracting players? What's so critical about finishing in the top four?
Well, first, it's like this is the old, probably the world's most popular football tournament. The UEFA Champions League. So if you want to be a top team, there's just this idea you got to play in the best football tournament in the world. You know, if you're in the Champions League, you're playing against the likes of Barcelona, of Inter Milan, of Real Madrid. So you just want to be among the best. But it's also a huge influx of cash. So it's key for signing players in the offseason. And like you said, you hit the nail on the head. To recruit the best players, you want to play in the Champions League. I mean, that's a huge reason why Harry Kane left this offseason to go to Bayern Munich. He's 30 and he couldn't wait for the rebuild. He wanted to play in the Champions League now. So Tottenham, which has ambitions of being one of the best teams in the world, it's key for them to get into this tournament.
Nice. And I take it the Champions League, they don't invite any of the U.S. Teams to compete in that thing.
They do not. And there's every once in a while, you know, it just goes to show the difference between European and U.S. sports. You know how in the U.S. we talk about sometimes maybe hosting a Super Bowl in London?
Yes.
We've looked at European sports leagues. There would never host a Champions League game in the U.S. That would be sacrilegious.
Come on, Europe. Do better. All right. Thanks, TK. Just a quick note on football before we get to baseball. Russell Wilson, the greatness of Russell Wilson, is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Wow.
Yeah, so the Denver Broncos released him, and he's on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, I think speaking for most Seahawks fans, I think we wish him well. As long as the Steelers don't play the Seahawks, but that should be interesting. And on a side note, the NFL draft is going to be fascinating. The thought is that the first three players drafted are going to be quarterbacks. So,
wow.
So that will be fun.
Well, I think it just goes to show, you know, ever since I've been in Denver, the Broncos have just been, they've kind of become a snake-bitten franchise. So any free agents on the market, I would follow Mr. Wilson's lead, and I would not go to the Denver Broncos.
Poor ponies. Maybe next year.
And some of the worst uniforms in football. Orange and the neon orange with the little horse.
Yeah, the blue. Of course, I'm a little bit colorblind. The blue, that kind of looks like a purple. Don't know about that. But plenty of football to come when we do our football picks podcast in August, September. But right now, it's as TK said, it's spring. Spring hopes eternal, and it does for 30-some-odd baseball teams. So let's get into our picks. Do you want to start with the National League first or the American League?
Let's do the American League first.
Okay, the American League. The American League East. Are you going chalk?
I'm not going chalk. I'm going with this is a family-friendly podcast, but I think I can say it because it's a musical. The Damn Yankees.
Okay.
I think that we all know that they can hit. We know that Stanton and Judge are going to hit 40-plus home runs each, maybe more. There's a lot of questions about the rotation, but I wouldn't be surprised about the trade deadline. They spent some cash. I think they've been knocking at the door for a while. I think we saw this with the Astros back in 20. They won the division in 2015. They had a breakthrough. They regressed in 2016, and then they won the World Series in 2017. I think the Orioles are going to go a similar trajectory. I think they had a breakthrough year this year. I think they're going to regress to the mean a little bit this year, and then next year they're going to maybe win the World Series. So I think they're going to have a slightly off year, and I think the Yankees are going to fill that void and make one last run with some of their heavy hitters and win in the upper 90s for games and win the AL East.
Well, you're not alone. There's plenty of people picking the Yankees. The majority are picking the Orioles, and that's how I'm going with. I love their young talent. You know, last year was a breakthrough year. Just a young team, inexperienced in the playoffs. But I think this year, you know, they're gonna, you know, be the American League champion, East champions again. So I'm gonna go with the Orioles. How about a division that's a little harder to pick? It's all over the AL Central. It's kind of all over the place. I've seen a lot of prognostications picking Twins, White Sox, Guardians.
It seems like to me I've seen the the Twins have, I think they have the strongest roster in that division. The White Sox, yeah, I remember. I think you might have even picked the White Sox.
I did. I've picked them the last 3 years.
And I think they've kind of, they looked good maybe around 2020 and just have never really come together. Yeah. Kind of the young talents fizzled out. So I think the Twins, I thought they had a good season last year. Finally won a playoff game. I think they're going to win about 90 games, and I think that's going to be enough for the Central.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even sure they're going to make it 90 wins because the Central is weak compared to the East and the West. But I'll go with the Twins. I want to go with the White Sox again, but the White Sox, every time I pick them, I am the jinx. They fold like a house of cards. In the AL West, I'm going to go with the Astros.
Yeah.
Over the Rangers. I think the Astros are always loaded. I think eventually they're going to have a little bit of a slide because they don't have the farm system that they quite had a few years back, but I think the Astros have the deepest talent.
Yeah, I think that's something like the Astros have won the past 7 AL West titles. They are clearly but obviously, so I remind our listeners, they did not win last year's World Series title.
Who did?
That would be your Texas Rangers. And I am going to go, the Rangers won the World Series, but the biggest hurdle might be winning the division this year. Because I think the West, you were saying the Central is weak. The West is a good division between the Astros, Mariners, and Rangers. I think the Rangers are going to start slow. They have some rotational health issues, but they're going to score a lot of runs. I think they're going to play close to maybe a little above 500 ball before the All-Star break, and then they're going to get Scherzer healthy. DeGrom is finally going to be healthy, and I think they're going to make a run in the second half and maybe in the last week of the season past the Astros and take the AL West crown.
Wow. As a Mets fan, I would say I would not count on Scherzer and DeGrom being healthy, but
they won the World Series, so stranger things can happen.
Exactly. So when you talk about wild cards, the Rangers are my first wild card, and then I would go with the Rays and the Mariners. I'm predicting that your damn Yankees are not going to make it to the playoffs.
Ah, well, you know, I think that's definitely possible because I think the AL wild card is going to be a close race. I think that I too am going with the Astros and the Mariners. So they both have 3 AL West teams making the playoffs. And then I have the Orioles also.
Okay.
I think that the AL West is a great division, and I think Seattle, I think they're going to win a playoff series for the faithful.
Oh, that would be nice.
Great baseball town that's been through some lean years.
Some awfully lean years. And have never been to the World Series. So talk about hope and spring. So you have the Yankees, Twins, Rangers winning the division, Astros, Mariners, Orioles. Who do you have winning the American League and going to the World Series?
Well, this could be a homer pick, but they did it last year. I think they'll do it again. I think, like I said, their rotation's going to get healthy at the second half of the year. Bruce Bochy has the magic touch in the playoffs. You can never bet against him. I'm going the Rangers repeat, and the pennant flies in Arlington once again.
I like it. I like it. I'm not going with the Rangers because I think it's – in baseball, it's very difficult to repeat, you know, these are long series. Your bullpens are stretched during the playoffs. So, you know, and with Scherzer and DeGrom, as you mentioned, being hurt, I'm not sure that they'll have enough arms. Of course, they could make a trade, but I'm going to go with the youth and the enthusiasm and the talent of the Baltimore Orioles. So I'm going to have the Orioles and you have the Rangers. I do have the Rangers making it to the ALCS, but I do have the Orioles winning and making it to the World Series.
Well, I talked about Seattle being a great baseball town. Baltimore. Great fan base, great right. baseball town. I think that would be a lot of fun. Camden Yards. I mean, I watched a couple of the highlights from the playoff games, and even though the Rangers smoked them in those two games, they sure had some passionate fans. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good town, good history. Okay, the National League East. I'll start off. Of course, the Braves.
Yeah,
I think they are the best team in the National League. Some would argue the Dodgers, but it's hard to argue with the Braves' rotation, and their lineup is stacked. As a Mets fan, it's sickening to see them being so good year and year again. But what can you do? Give them their due.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we know that this is an election year, so in November all eyes might be on Georgia. But I think in October all eyes are going to be on Georgia too, because the Braves are going to win 100-plus games. They're going to win the NL East maybe by 20 games, and I think they're going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So it's exciting times for Braves fans. I'm picking them too.
Awesome. And so for the NL Central – Pennsylvania is a swing state. You're talking about the elections in November. Are you going with the Pittsburgh? Are you going with a non-swing state?
I think by July they'll be having dollar ticket nights in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
As the Pirates once again are not very good. I'm going with the Cubs.
Okay.
It seemed like the prognosticators were pretty evenly divided between the Cubs and the Reds. But I thought the Cubs, I really liked their manager. I thought they really had a strong season last year. It was disappointing they missed out in the playoffs, but I think they're a talented team. I think the Central has some bad teams that they'll feast on. So I think the Cubs are similar to the Twins. I think they might win around 88 to 90 games, and I think that will be enough.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the Cubs have the best lineup. They have the best rotation. And I agree, it's a weak division, and I can't see him winning more than, 88 games, but that should be enough to win the Central. As far as the NL West, this is another chalk pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers, to win fairly easily.
I thought I saw there's something, the ESPN, they polled 100 baseball beat writers on who would win the each division, and this was the only one. All 100 said it was the Dodgers.
That's surprising that there was someone that didn't think that the Braves would win.
I think there was one that
said the Phillies.
I think there's one that said the Phillies.
Okay.
It's just they're the best team. They've been the class of the West. There's that one weird year the Giants won, but what is it? Something like 12 out of 13. I mean, it's just insane. I don't know what's going on in Los Angeles or California, but one thing they get right is baseball. And the Dodgers are a great baseball team.
And that's you said it there. Wild card. So we both have the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers. My wild card are the Diamondbacks, Phillies, and Mets. I mean, that might be a little controversial. Not many people are picking the Mets, but
it's not a K&A's baseball pick at the Mets.
Yeah, I got to pick the Mets somewhere.
What's your thinking of on the Mets? What's the path to the wild card?
Okay, so here is the path. I think everyone's picking them as like anywhere between a 79 and 83 win team. They have a lot of money. If they're close, if they're all close during the trade deadline, I could see them making a trade for another starter. A reliever to push them over the top. And don't forget, the Diamondbacks were the third wild card in the NL last year, and they only won like 93 games. And they made a couple trades at the trade deadline for some relief pitching.
Yeah.
I don't think the Mets are that bad of a team. They just signed J.D. Martinez. Pete Alonso is on a walk year. I think, he wants to cash in, so I think he's going to have a big year. They've got a couple, questionable positions that, if any of their young players have kind of a breakthrough. You know, they could do it. So a lot of it is hope that they'll be close and that they'll make a couple trades that'll push them over the top of the third wild card.
I saw one writer predict that if the Mets aren't in contention, they'll trade Alonso at the trade deadline for prospects to a team like the Mariners or the Orioles, and then they'll re-sign him in the offseason.
The Mets have a high payroll. They're in New York City. I mean, the hope is in the whole organization that they're in contention, even if they don't make the playoffs. I think if they're way far back, yes, they're gonna trade. But oh God, please let that not happen, and you know, not be an embarrassing year again. Well, so who are your wild cards?
I had the Phillies too. Okay. And then I had, coming out of the NL West, I had the Giants and the Padres. I just didn't see any team either in the East or the Central that really excited me. But I thought the Giants and Padres both have some talented roster, both have some good offensive pieces. I think the defending NL pennant champions, the Diamondbacks, are going to just miss out on the playoffs. So I have the Phillies, Giants, and Padres.
All right. And then your pick to win the National League.
So I think that the NLCS is going to decide who wins the World Series. I think it's going to be Dodgers and Braves. And I'm going to say Dodgers over the Braves, winning a clinching Game 7 in a hostile Atlanta stadium with the legend of Shohei Ohtani, assuming he's everything with the gambling situation gets resolved.
Whoops.
It will be his first time in the MLB playoffs, and he'll have some late inning Game 7 heroics to send Los Angeles back to the World Series.
Okay. I hear you about, and I also have the Braves and the Dodgers and the NLCS, unless the Mets surprise. But no, I have the Braves winning over the Dodgers. I think I like the Braves. Rotation a little bit better than the Dodgers. I think the Braves have been knocking on the door. I think this is the year they're going to do it. The Dodgers have this dark cloud of, like you mentioned, Ohtani. In his interpreter in the gambling situation. I will go with the Braves. So I have the Braves and the Orioles in the World Series, and you have the Rangers and the Dodgers.
Yep.
So who do you pick, the Rangers or the Dodgers?
I'm going with the Dodgers. I think, like you said, it's hard to repeat. I think there have been so many playoff heartbreaks for the Dodgers, which I think they won the World Series in 2020, but there are some people, which I think these people are wrong, say that's not a valid title. I think it is a valid title. They won 4 playoff rounds. They were a great baseball team, so I think it was completely valid. But I think they'll finally silence those naysayers, win a title during a full baseball season, get over the narrative that they're just a snake-bitten franchise, and Shohei Ohtani will be vindicated of the gambling charges and will be the World Series MVP.
All right. And I'm going with the Braves over the Orioles. I think it would be a fun World Series. Two young stacked teams will be competing for the next three to five years. I just think it's the Braves year, and it's the curse of being a Mets fan. We'll watch one of our division rivals win a World Series, and all we can do is complain a little bit about it. So you have the Braves, I have the Dodgers, and we shall see. We shall see. All right. Now, you ready for a couple of our famous listener questions?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So our first one is from Albert Einstein, and he would know if you could time travel either in the past or in the future, would you rather travel back in time to 1850 or 2150?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question, Albert. I guess what really comes down to is, you know, are you an optimist or pessimist in the future? Do you think 125 years from now we'll be living in utopia with cities on Mars and poverty eradicated? Or do you think things will get dystopic and we'll be back in the Stone Age? I am a risk averse, not a gambling man. So while I think the 1850s, there would certainly be some hardships, I know what to expect. And I think it would be fun. I think I would take a steamship. So I'd go back to the 1850s. I'd take a steamship over to Europe, maybe travel around France, Germany, England, see kind of what these farming societies were like, maybe stop at a French farm, have some great wine. Bottled on the source, maybe have some great food, maybe travel by ship, see what Japan was like prior to it becoming a westernized. And I think I would also, I'd make my money because I could have all these predictions about the future. And then maybe after a decade of traveling, I would return and help Lincoln avoid assassination, because I think if Lincoln had stayed president after the Civil War, I think a lot of kind of social strife could have been avoided. And I think things could have been a lot better in the South. So I travel for 10 years, go save Lincoln, help him win the Civil War faster to avoid more lives lost. So I think I'd rather do that than gamble and between whether 2150 will be a paradise or apocalyptic.
I like it. I would also go back go back to 1850, because the technology is, as we've seen, you know, with the advent of the internet, social media, we're losing touch with the real world. We're living in this kind of like this artificial online world, and I worry about, you know, with the advent of AI, does everyone want to live? Would they rather live as avatars in the internet versus it living in the real world? So I would go back to 1850, realizing that I would not have the luxuries that we have in modern society, which I surely appreciate. But one thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't change history, because what was that movie with Christopher Reeve? Was it Wrinkle in Time?
I think it was the butterfly effect.
It was the butterfly effect. Yeah, I would not, because you never know, you know.
That's true.
One little event, you know, it could cause havoc and mayhem. So I think we both are on board, Mr. Einstein, with going back in time versus going to the future. Our next question is from all the tech bros in Silicon Valley who are working on all their aging technologies, but they would like to know if we could become immortal, would we? And for me personally, I mean, it sounds appealing to live forever, but I think that would devalue life. I don't think if I was immortal, I would appreciate life. I think, you know, at some point, you know, having a short lifespan makes you appreciate, you know, the sunset or whatever. They always talk about, you know, when people are diagnosed with cancer, how, you know, those few years that they have left were actually joyous years because they were living in the now and, you know, appreciating each day. So, you know, is tempting, it sounds like, you know, to live forever, I would choose not to be immortal.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I had the option maybe where I could live to, say, 200 and have my loved ones live to 200 in a healthy body, maybe I'd consider that. But immortality, you know, you'll end up losing the ones around you. I think, like we alluded to, I don't know what the world is going to be. So I would rather make the most of with the time I have now, and especially with the rise of AI, I think especially, you know, I maybe want to peace out before seeing what's going to happen, if there's the rise of the Matrix, or if, I don't know. I don't know what the future's going to have, so I'd rather just enjoy my time now than rest and not have to be around to see see the doom that the machines bring.
Yeah, I like it. The machines. Unplug the machines. Our last question is from Ronald McDonald.
Awesome.
And Ronald McDonald says, and this is, I like this, a little lighter question. We've talked about doomsday, future, and we've talked about death. But this one is, you know, we're fast approaching summer. You know,
yes,
spring,
yeah.
But before you know it's summer. What are your favorite summer foods?
That's a great question, Ronald. I think I love grilled sausage, grilled hot dogs, grilled bratwurst. I think there's nothing better than just a classic burger or hot dog on a charcoal grill with a nice sear. Put some ketchup on it. Last summer we put some sauerkraut, and that was a great kind of cold crunch in the summer. And then I also think, as far as summer foods go, you can't forget how good a cup of ice cream can be on a warm summer night. You got to eat it fast or it's going to melt. So there is that. But, you know, those first few bites of a great, creamy, rich ice cream on a warm night, it's hard to beat.
Oh, you can't go wrong with ice cream. And everything you mentioned about grilling, used to love, you know, grilling hot dogs and hamburgers when I had access to a grill. Another thing I would add is I like having cold coffee in the summer. So, you know, there comes a point in time when the temperature gets over 80 degrees. Where it's official cold iced coffee drinking season. So that's when I shift.
And the shift from red wine to me to white wine.
Yes.
I love a good Sauvignon Blanc, a good Riesling in the summer. That's just great.
So what would you pair your Sauvignon Blanc with your summer food? Any grilled food, or is there any pesto, salmon?
That's a great point. I almost forgot about this. Last summer, I made homemade pesto. So we grew basil in our garden, added lemon, and we made batches of homemade pesto, ate it with some salmon, some fresh penne pasta, Parmesan cheese, and a crisp Sauvignon Blanc. I would implore all the listeners out there, if you think there's a better wine pairing, a better summer dish, send it, because in my 28 years on earth, I have not found a better pairing and warm summer evening meal than that.
You can't beat that.
I think, but you know, to tell you that, I'd love to hear from the listeners if anyone does have a summer meal.
Yes,
I think the guys should try this summer.
Yes, please send recipes, send tips, and also, you know, we appreciate any feedback. And of course, as always, on your podcast platform of choice, go and give us a 5-star rating. If you don't like us, give us a 1-star. We don't care. Just give us a rating. Either way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 does not matter, because we'll do it despite any animosity towards our podcast. Awesome. Any final thoughts before we?
Yeah, well, just, I think I always say this on our baseball. You know, I know we made our picks, but whether you're a Braves or a Dodgers fan, or you're a Pirates or an Oakland A's fan, hope springs eternal. So you never know. You have this third wild card team, maybe it will be an Oakland A's Pittsburgh Pirates. They'll sneak in as the third wild card, and it'll be an Oakland A's Pittsburgh Pirates World Series. That's the thing about this time of year. You never know. So the only thing we do know is that the Rockies stink. But besides the Rockies, it's open for all other 29 teams.
Wow, you've disparaged the Rockies and the Broncos. We'd love to hear from you, Colorado fans. Have a great spring, and we'll talk to you later.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
What do you think Ferris is going to do?
It's going to be a strike for convenience. Come on and twist a little closer now.